Arenado!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Buehr has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. As well, hope you're having a good morning. Hope you survived the night without Mariner baseball. I will admit it was a challenge for me, Brock. I didn't know what to do with myself. I had all my work done early. I went for a run. I chopped up all the veggies for dinner by like 4:30. The whole night was just I didn't know what to do.
You want some poker?
No. What?
That's what was on ESPN.
What?
7 o'clock.
What are you talking about? Yeah. No, I didn't watch poker.
World Series of Poker, man.
Yeah, not me.
I did not watch poker.
Me neither.
Okay.
But that's what was...
I didn't even turn on the
that's
TV
what was rolling.
Last night. I didn't even know. I hated it. I am so excited the Mariners are back on tonight so I can get out. I'm going to the game July 3rd, fireworks show, red, white, true to the blue, the whole deal. I'm excited. Excited for to get them back. So here's the deal. I've been trying to think about the Mariners in a new way. Are you open to considering the Mariners in a totally new way from how you have leading into the season? Not just good versus bad.
You got to help me here, though. Right. Is this your run around Green Lake thinking? Is this with a scotch at night in your chair with your leg crossed and a pipe thinking? Is this driving to and from work listening to Anthrax thinking? Like what?
Just
what
heard mode? Some Anthrax the other day. Yeah, caught in a mosh. Let's
Judas
go.
Judas Priest. Like what mode of thinking are we in here?
This has been sort of a little of all of it. It has developed here over the last couple of days. It's been a slow burn that's gotten me from point A to point B. So it was a little bit of running around the lake. It was a little bit of just sort of in the showers, a little bit of driving to and from work. It was a little bit of in the back of my head talking to you and even talking to Wassel, I think, on Friday that kind of eventually got me to this place. And maybe I'm late to the party. Maybe everybody else has already thought of this. I don't know. But I've been considering a new way of envisioning this team and where they are specifically in their process and their winning process. And I think when this year began, like everybody else, I thought this was the last legs of an aging core, right? Felix is close to being done. Seager is kind of had his time to be a middle-of-the-order guy, and he hasn't really produced the way you need to. Cano and Cruz. This group was done. They had one more chance, and for whatever reason, the organization was going to give them that last chance. And if it didn't work, it was blow it all up, right?
And if you had been told in March that, hey, even worse news to this aging core.
Right, you're going to lose Cano.
The best of them is going to be lost for most of the year.
But I'm thinking now, as we sit here on July 3rd, that maybe the entire premise has changed. And not just that this team is good instead of bad. I mean, I think we've seen that. That we can all agree on. But what if the core of this team has changed to the point where their space in the window essentially has changed as well? Where they are no longer right at the very end of the window, which is closing behind them. And in fact, they're actually a lot closer to the very beginning of this window. And if your core is actually Haniger, Segura, Paxton, Diaz, Zunino, and Gordon, maybe that's that group. Now, is that group good enough to win multiple titles? I don't know. Maybe they need the right help around them. Maybe they need to add another core member. You probably need to keep Nelson Cruz on one of these, you know, repeating deals. We'll see what happens when Cano comes back, and you still have Seager here for a long time. So there's nothing like specifically that tells you that group is going to win the World Series. But what if next year they're better than this year?
What if instead of having to be hot or cold, on or off, black or white, sell and start over, tear down, what if you can actually just be evolving? What if you can just kind of evolve along the way? What if way back when, you remember, I think when push comes to shove, where we felt this the most was that year, and we were out at the VMAC, I remember this, and it was the year they like traded Jared Washburn in the Dolphin pitch, and we're like, what are they doing? But they added somebody. They're like, you're in between. Like,
Robles.
Are you like a buyer or are you a seller? Like, it just blew our wires. Like, what are you? You know, you just can't understand it. And yet, over the last few years, as you look at Jerry, and Lydia and I were talking about this half hour ago, like, he has constantly wanted a controllable piece. Like, if there's been one constant in his 3 years of management, is I want control. I want to add somebody that I've got control, club control over, Mike. Is this a young team? No. Is this an old team? Probably. Is this a controlled team and a controllable team for years to come? Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what they are. So as far as young and old, and you watched the Atlanta Braves last night, well, you didn't watch them. You didn't turn the TV on. The Atlanta Braves went into the Bronx. Oh, my gosh, they're young.
Yeah.
Like the Astros of 4 years ago. Like, oh, my gosh, these guys. That's right. They tore everything down. They were terrible a couple years. And they've got all these four or five young phenoms. They're leading the National League East. And they are flat out young. You're not. But you are controllable for a lot of years here.
So how do you treat that? I don't know what to make of a team like that. It's different from any other team I've ever really been around.
Okay,
one that is in the beginning. Let's say its core, its new core, is in the beginning of its prime window. They still have some outsized contracts with Seager and Cano, but you can live with those. Those aren't that big a deal. I mean, if they're the only two, it's really not that big a deal to have them. But they also don't have a way. Like, usually if you have a young core, you would also have an enormous wave of prospects that are sort of coming up the system with them, and they don't have that at all. In fact, Sam Carlson got hurt. He's like their number two prospect. He had Tommy John surgery yesterday, unfortunately. So an organization that already only had 2 to 4 legitimate prospects is down to 1 to 3. I mean, like, it goes like that, unfortunately.
Well, are you going to listen? Here's Jerry DePoto.
It's just weird.
Well, here's Jerry. Here's how Jerry sees this roster construction.
Because our most famous 4 or 5 players are all in their 30s, it doesn't necessarily mean we're a ticking time bomb and we only have 1 year left to try to figure this out.
No, and not the way Haniger's playing as an all-star, second in the league in RBIs, all-star caliber player. Not the way that Gene Segura is playing as he's a top 5 hitter in this league. Not the way that Mike Zunino is catching, albeit struggling hitting to a degree, but not the way that he has solidified you behind home plate. Not the way that Gamble continues to contribute. Not the way that Healy's on pace to hit 30 home runs.
And
not
all
the way
of those
that D.
Guys,
Gordon
as you said,
is
are
continuing to grow. And not
all,
the way
all
that Paxton has taken the... Right? I mean, you just start to look at all of these controllable pieces.
So if you look at it through that lens, Brock, and start thinking about this trade deadline, which is 4 weeks away, July 31st, what do you do, right? Because in theory, if there is a new nucleus, a new core to this group, then it should allow them to be more aggressive in trading prospects for veterans at the deadline if you believe they're going to be good here for the next couple of years and that you're not on the verge of a rebuild where you need every one of those prospects to stick together to start to be ready to come up to the big league. So, you know, you can start seeing a world in which Jerry DePoto is very aggressive at the trade deadline, where he can try to acquire guys. And if I know anything about Jerry, he's not looking for rentals. He's looking for a guy with at least 1 year of control after this year. We already know his biggest asset is money as opposed to prospects. Cole Hamels maybe makes some sense. One of these young relievers that has a couple years of controllability left might make a little sense. Now, there are two things to remember anytime you start thinking about Jerry DePoto and going big at the trade deadline. One, he always wants a prospect back in every deal, right?
Everyone.
He's adamant that his organization not age rapidly. So we'll see whether or not that goes through. But second, because this team never really went through a true rebuild, they still have limited resources. And so as nice as it is to envision a core, they're still rebuilding essentially a broken farm system at the same time. Every prospect they deal makes that hill even tougher to climb.
It makes me so excited over the next 3 weeks to see what he's going to do.
Yes.
It really does. It makes you sit back and go, okay, this is not conventional wisdom. He never has done it. You now look at the Marco Gonzalez deal. You now look at the Mike Leake deal, which we have talked about, that he reshaped his rotation, not in the offseason, not with the Lance Lynn and these other guys that you know, many of them that have not worked in their franchises that certainly haven't seen a growth, Jason Vargas. No, he went after it last July with a Marco and a Leake, and look what it's done. And over the next 3 weeks, I hope he and his analytics team, through finances, which is their greatest gift they have, another $7 million they didn't expect to have or so, I hope that he can be equally creative. And we can look back at it, you know, 6 months from now or even 6 weeks from now and go, gosh, what a great move.
And then a few days after that, I mean, 2 weeks afterwards, you're going to get Robinson Cano back. So you're going to add as good a middle of the order bat as anybody is going to end up trading for.
So has it changed your mind? Because ultimately you were the one. If there's one guy in this town that just, you know, was as staunch in his opinion that you have got to find a way to tear this thing down. You just cannot be in between in baseball. Is it possible that this kind of new age with analytics, with the study, with the way that they do it, that you can be a little bit, I guess, in this world of controllability and in between?
Yeah, I think it is. I guess I certainly allow for the possibility that they have done that. That being said, would you rather be the Mariners or the Braves right now? The goal is, as you said, to be the Braves, to have all of your guys coming up and young and great and all of that with some good management, et cetera, and put it all together. That is the goal, to be the Braves, to be almost where the Phillies are at, to be the Astros and where they were 2 years ago. That's goal number one, to be the Yankees with some of the young, really young, incredible talent in the farm system that they have. You're not in that position. I mean, but is this better than some of the alternatives? Yeah, I would say so, absolutely. Yes. 7:10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, three-game series begins tonight at Safeco Field. Mariners and Angels, and this is the Angels' last stand as far as I can tell. The Mariners have an 11-game lead over Anaheim in the AL West. The Angels have now slipped into fourth place in the division. They're going to give it their best, man. They are going to try to start Ohtani tonight as the DH. They are going to bring back Garrett Richards tomorrow to see if he can pitch. I mean, they are doing everything in their power to hang on. The reality of it is they need a sweep just to get back to eight games behind the Mariners. You have a real good chance to drive a stake into the heart of the Angels. Starting tonight, fireworks night. Can't wait to be at Safeco.
Yeah, what a beautiful night is going to be. What a beautiful week as this long homestand continues with the Angels and then the Colorado Rockies come into town. This is not the Angels team that you swept just a couple weeks ago. This is not the Angels team that got some automatic outs when the bases are loaded or guys are on second and third and you wiggle off things. Cole Calhoun is back. Anthony Simmons, one of the best shortstops in all of baseball. He is back. Pitching rotation can be up and down. Bullpen is not nearly as good as yours. So go out and win the series. Go out and do what you've continued to do at home as you've been 14 games over 500. Make Safeco Field a home field advantage. It'd be the first time in a couple decades that, heck, these records are pointing out. Yeah, this is the first team since those 2001, 2002, and 2003 Mariners that have substantial backing and foundational pieces to build around.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
This probably shouldn't be a huge surprise, but Mariners closer Edwin Diaz, recently named American League Reliever of the Month for June, second time this year he has won that award, did so after converting 12 of 13 save opportunities with a 1.88 ERA over 14 appearances. Mariners went 14-0 in games he pitched in during June. I think that's pretty good. Brock, you were trying to say yesterday that maybe it is his team. I can't go there with you, not with a reliever, no thank you, but is he the MVP of this team? I saw somebody trying to make a case yesterday. He's the MVP of the American League right now, and I don't think that's going to be the case. But what he's done to make sure that a team that seems to play one-run wins, wins them all,
yep.
It's hard to argue there has been anybody who's been significantly more valuable to their team than Edwin Diaz has been to the Mariners.
Can we agree that he is the most irreplaceable of all the Mariners?
Right now he is.
I can't imagine what this team would look like in all of these close games if you did not have the confidence you do in handing that kid the ball. 2 out of 3 months to begin the season, he's the American League Reliever of the Month. It speaks in his testament to what he's done. Now, and you're going to hear this from Jeff Passan in a couple hours, there is some concern about usage. He's been run out there an awful lot. If we're concerned about the starting rotation and the number of innings, and we talked to Mel Sottlmeyer about that yesterday, we'll continue to monitor Edwin Diaz over the course of the second half of this season. Will be a huge key for Scott, for Mel, and for the Mariners, as he's been their best piece, and to me, the most irreplaceable piece for the Mariners in the first half of the season.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Free agent guard J.R. Sweezy reportedly in Seattle yesterday to have a little visit with the Seahawks and undergo a physical. He was released by the Bucs last Friday after spending a injury-riddled couple years in Tampa Bay. Do I want J.R. Sweezy back? Yeah, I think I do. I'm not saying that he's going to be the answer or a game-changer, and I know he's not big enough for the system, although I saw Bob Condotta on Twitter pointing out that, yeah, he's listed at 290, but he's been listed there since he first came into the league. He may actually be bigger than that. Why do I want J.R. Sweezy back? Because I want the nasty back. I want some of the meanness back. That's been the goal, is to turn this team back into a physical run-first football team with an edge. And where does that edge come from? An offensive line. Who have we seen here with an edge? We clamored to bring back Brano Giacomini and some of those guys. Well, J.R. Sweezy has some of that. He was willing to take a shot. He was willing to try to bury somebody at the whistle. And I'm certainly interested in taking a look to see whether he's healthy enough to come back and play.
Meanest mugshot in all of football? Yes. A little crazy in his eyes in that picture? Yes. Does he play that way? Does he have to because of some size limitations? Absolutely. We'll dig into this a little bit more in Blue 42, both the good and the bad of it. But does this offensive line need more competition? I don't think there's any question about it. Every offensive line in all of the NFL needs more competition to it. And if you can add a guy that you know inside and out, and he wants to come back here because he went away like Byron Maxwell and went, geez, that thing up in Seattle, Pete's culture, pretty good. Want to be a piece of it. A guy that realized a lot of success here. Yeah, I think there's some value in bringing him back.
All right, three things you need to know every morning right at 7:10. A couple of your text messages coming in. Guys, excited to have you back in Spokane, but no one's more excited than my cell phone battery. All right, well, maybe you're having trouble with your app, 710 Sports app there. But we are back on in Spokane. Happy to be there on 700 ESPN. Another text saying, I wake up every morning hoping to hear that the Mariners have traded away Robinson Cano.
Ooh.
We're going to have some of that conversation with you. Start thinking about whether you miss Cano. We'll discuss at 8 o'clock this morning. Right now, the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus. A wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. You know, the Cano one really intrigues me.
You miss him?
Yeah, I do. I do miss him. But what I'm wondering is that, you know, I think one of the keys, because, you know, the schedule has helped everything this year, and this team, you know, should be able to make the playoffs.
Sure.
But I think one of the keys is trying to, you know, acquire more talent for this year, next year, and the year after that. And so what I'm wondering about, you know, with that big $24 million a year contract, seeing, I mean, he's worth, what, 0.4 runs per team, for this team. Because they go from 4.6 to 4.2 without him. But if they can move that contract and get good value, kind of intriguing.
I don't think they can do that, though.
Probably not.
I mean, you know, even before the suspension and the injury, Cano's value as a tradable target was next to zero. In order to trade him, you'd probably have to take back a similarly large and bad contract.
Or eat some of that contract. It's interesting, John, as you open the segment with that, I thought you were going to go a little different direction and say, you know what? I've seen a lot of locker rooms in the NFL where a guy holds out. Joey Galloway, I've told that story back in 99, my rookie year, John, where he held out. We were 8-2. Everybody kind of, you know, picked up their own oars and wrote it. And then he came back and we went 1-5 down the stretch. You've seen some of that, I think, in the NFL through the years. I thought that may have been the direction you were going with Cano.
No, I've just been intrigued because, you know, I've been breaking down all kind of things with my worksheets and everything else. And, you know, I'm looking at what, there's only three free agents on this team at the end of the season. And, you know, they want to try to get more players under player control, under team control, just to try to build, because you know what's going to happen next year. When you win this many one-run games, close games, you always drop back to next. I mean, Texas, of course, being the classic example, going from 96 to 78. So what that means is next year they've got to add more players to at least you know, make this team a little bit better. They've done such a great job, but you know, I kind of look at next year and the year after that.
We got a text here, John, who says, I don't know who you were talking about, so we'll just have
well,
to
well, he'll also like the fact, you know, I have my database, it has that broken down, the 4.6 and the 4.2.
right.
I have Cano and I have ca-no.
oh, because sometimes ca is also an no. Hey, what's going on with your boy T.O.? Before we get into J.R. Sweezy, do you see this T.O. thing?
Yeah.
Where he's going to announce where he'll be for the induction ceremony? Where do you think he's going
to
be?
I would have to think maybe he's reconsidered and got some sponsorship and may have be able to be there.
So you think he'll be in Canton when it's
I
all said
and done?
Be,
yeah. I mean, it was just a stupid mistake on his part to, you know, have whatever ego is there saying I didn't make the first ballot. And, you know, a lot of people thought that, one, he reached out to people to try to present him and nobody wanted to do it. And the other one was he didn't have enough money to have a party there. So I'd have to think that, you know, he has to be able to go back. But again, he could be making an announcement saying that he's holding a party somewhere else, which would be equally stupid.
You think J.R. Sweezy gets down here in Seattle?
If he does something close to the minimum, yeah. I think the fact that he makes the quick visit here shows that he wants to be here. And the fact that they've wasted no time in getting him here, that's a good sign. You know, I still wonder if 290, 295 pounds fits what they want for offensive linemen. But, you know, he blocked well here. He was a good force, good player. And if you can get him at the right price, I think it'd be a great signing.
Hey, what's the deal with this Earl Thomas Instagram post? Did you see it yesterday? It was sort of blah on Cam Chancellor. Is there more backstory to that?
Don't know. I mean, you know, when Earl's in the locker room and you ask him questions, I mean, you get the honest answer of where he feels this day. But with him being away, nobody, I think, can read where he is. And so, you know, I thought it was, you know, because You would think there'd be some emotion because you saw the players. I know we talked to Brandon Mebain about Cam, and you know you can see a lot of emotional reaction around the country with different players reacting to it, and that was kind of a strange one by Earl. Who knows?
Patrick Peterson says Josh Rosen, quote, blew my mind. Rookie quarterbacks, as you forecast ahead for this upcoming season, who has the most wins? Which rookie quarterback, John, do you see out there that could start this year that leads his team to the most wins?
I don't know if there's going to be any. I mean, I think because, you know, Josh Allen still is a way away from being on the field. I think Sam Darnold might get a chance. I mean, it could be Baker Mayfield because I think they'll go maybe about 8-9 weeks with Tyrod Taylor. But I think what you're looking at with this draft class of quarterbacks, that not many are going to get on the field early because, I mean, you know that Rosen probably has the quickest path to get there, but he's got a $20 million guy ahead of him. And if they do like the Mike Glennon thing in Chicago, where you start Bradford for six games and you pay him $20 million and you decide to bench him, that may not be the smartest thing to do.
Yeah, I just don't think this group is very good.
Well, I think it's good. I think it's more in the future than it is now.
Yeah, that's sort of synonymous with not being that good. Well, if you're a good quarterback, they'll play you right away. I'm sorry. I've never thought that this crop of quarterbacks was all that good. I don't know if it's similar to that Jake Locker year where they all came out and none of them were very good, but there's none of them that have ever jumped out and impressed me. It's like, okay, that guy is truly going to be a franchise-changing star.
Yeah, Sam Darnold was the one who impressed me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one that I thought, and but of course, look what the New York Giants did. I mean, here they are with an old quarterback, and they passed on the opportunity to draft a quarterback.
Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card. Wild
card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
What is the best dish that has cheese in it?
Let's see. You can have lobster, lobster and cheese. I mean, that's a good dish. I think you can like that. I think, if you have a good Swiss cheese on a hamburger, that's a good. Of course, you know, it's going to be a little bit lower down the scale. Possibly some Alfredo.
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Fettuccine. I would vote fettuccine Alfredo. Yeah, kind of, but it's cheese. Cheese is cheese.
So you go
Parmesan
lobster.
Cheese that goes into Alfredo.
Lobster mac.
Lobster mac and cheese, that's number one. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite lobster mac place is not open right now. We're kind of waiting for that.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. What about nachos?
I've kind of gotten away from those.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah, how because about, particularly not getting a chance to jog as much as I want. You know, the nachos probably wouldn't be.
How about just cheese fondue?
Like cheese fondue is fantastic.
What's better than cheese fondue?
There's we just had one 3 weeks ago.
Really? Where do you make that at home or you go out for that?
What? Do I make any food at home?
I make that at home on New Year's Eve. It's a big tradition.
Have you ever gone sharp cheddar cheese on apple pie?
No.
It's supposed to be good.
I guess years ago I did.
Oh, okay. All right. Also, I guess you have. All right, John, thank you.
Happy 4th of July.
Well, happy 4th.
Have a great day off tomorrow. Go do something fun.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. There's John Clayton with us every single day. His database is working overtime. Working overtime on Robbie Cano, and his favorite cheese dish is the lobster.
You know what he does, right? 4th of July, Roman candle wars.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Out in the streets.
Spraying people with Roman candles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Launching bottle rockets right off of his deck. Yep. All of it.
Speaking of launching, and you can listen to 710, our show here on the 710 Sports app, driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Speaking of launching, do you need to stop launching in public? It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, Brock and Salk, hope you guys are having a good morning. 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, 710 Sports app as well. As I said, we're going to get you guys on the horn here in about a half hour. Simple question, do you miss Robinson Cano? I do. Brock, I don't think misses him nearly as much as I do. So we'll debate and get you guys involved at 8 o'clock. And Jeff Passan, the wet blanket himself this morning at 9 o'clock. Love talking to Jeff.
And
we'll see if he thinks the Mariners are going to make that 103 wins that they are on pace for. Before we kind of dig into this homestand here, Brock, and I'm going tonight and the rest of this homestand anyway, you got these big three against the Angels. Want to kind of look at where your division is at. You wowed me with a statement when you walked in this morning.
Yeah, failure to launch.
What do you mean failure to launch?
Failure to launch. Well, you remember about a year ago at the Medical Themes International auction event that Curly always auctioneers at Safeco Field, Zorn and I were throwing footballs out.
Okay.
People bid on it, and I don't know, they pay a little money, and then, you know, thankfully it's Safeco Field. It's not the Hyatt downtown Bellevue where Damon broke a chandelier and throwing a football off a stage. No, it's, you know, a lot of open space, but I did not do very well. Like, I tried to guide some of them. I overthrew some people. It was rather, it just wasn't my best performance. Okay. It was kind of embarrassing. And Zoran is all over it. Like, it's really important to him, and he crushes it. So yesterday, a bunch of us had a chance to go out to the Special Olympics flag football event, and it was awesome. Actually saw Fresh out there and his beautiful wife, Molly. And they were out there supporting the Special Olympics. And Jim Zorn and Steve Largent and Walter Jones, and Ray Roberts, and Chuck Nelson, and a whole crew, Damon. It was so fun to be out there supporting the flag football event, which goes on all week on the IMA fields over there at the UW. And if you got any time, just go watch it. It was phenomenal. So we're out there, and we get a chance to watch and then just kind of encourage the athletes. And there was a microphone, and Jim Zorn spoke and everything. I was like, you know what? Forget this. I'm not going to say anything better than Jim or Steve or the other Hall of Famers.
Okay.
So you know what I did? I said, who wants to catch a ball? Yeah, who wants to play a little
catch?
Oh,
no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I thought it was a good idea.
No, you know it's not. I won't even play catch with you.
Who wants to play a little catch?
Oh, no.
And there raised Bill's hand from Mississippi. Because all the teams have got their colors on. They represent. And Bill's probably about my age.
He's a participant?
He's a participant.
In the Special Olympics.
In the Special Olympics.
Okay.
Great guy. Big smile. I'll do it. You know, he came out. I'll do it. And he had his necklace on with all of his pins. And this guy was just phenomenal. He took it off. What do you want me to run? I'm like, why don't you run a little corner route? We had plenty of open space, too.
Oh, no.
So he runs a little corner route. I try to aim it, and it's short. And then it's like, oh.
Oh, you were short?
I was
short. You underthrew him?
Yes. And Jim's Zorn.
Real football?
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. But it was a smaller football, which even worse. And Zorn did what he used to do to me on the practice field. Like, that was a bad throw in front of all the athletes, parents, organizers, everything. So
did he give you at least a coaching tip or two? Like,
yeah,
what to do with your elbow?
You know, I said, penalty, false start. We'll do it again. And I did my whole cadence. My voice is a little raspy. We had a microphone. Doing it! Did it again. And this time kind of threw his hands. Yeah.
Well, it was a good throw at least?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? It's still, I signed the check. It still wasn't completed.
No, come on. I'm going to give you, at least the throw was good.
Yeah, and third time incomplete. But you know what?
Was the third time your fault too?
Maybe a step ahead.
Okay.
I mean, it was just a mess.
You were inaccurate.
Maybe I shouldn't do that again, but I will pay it off with this. He gave me the biggest hug imaginable. Aww. And it was so cool. Like, it was one of those hugs that just, you know, I don't know. We don't do much, especially as guys. We don't normally, like, go all in. And he was just like, he didn't care. He didn't care. Damon laughed at me. Zorn kept ripping me. The guys were scoffing me. Dave Craig was just laughing his head off, which was fine. I was laughing. But you know what? It all, like, disappeared. Because Bill came back with the biggest smile. And I don't think I've ever hugged a guy like that. And I was able to give him the football, and Special Olympics did. It was just so well done.
That's pretty
cool. So moral of the story, even if you can't complete a pass at 42 years of age anymore, and maybe you don't run as well, and maybe you know you have other plans this week, go take in a little Special Olympics because you will walk away from it much better for it. They were awesome. And so many Olympians from all over the country are there participating. So
plus, really you can cool watch ex-athletes like Brock
yes
not throw the ball well.
That's exactly right.
That sounds fantastic.
Yes.
The lucky fans in the – did all the fans in the stands see that?
Yeah, there are a few. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there are a few.
They had to witness that.
Yeah, but you know what? Just compete.
All right.
Go on, do your best.
Okay. So. Except maybe you shouldn't anymore. I think
no,
that's part of the moral of the story.
Oh, for my last two.
I don't know. I beg to differ because I've seen you throw the ball, and I'm still not attempting to catch it. I'm out on that. I saw what you did to those poor chumps from Entourage.
Yeah.
I'm out. No way.
Or a young intern, the last fella that was in.
Joey?
Yeah.
What'd you do to Joey?
You were out there.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were, CTE. Was he not out there?
He was chucking balls at Joey? You were there.
I don't think I was.
Howdy has video of you
yes
being there. We can prove you were there.
I don't think I was there.
Yeah, you were
there. I don't remember seeing
it. On
that.
Twitter.
No, I didn't see that.
I posted it.
What are you talking about?
That's true. Yes.
I remember Joey, and I kind of remember you going outside to play catch with him, but
yes
I wasn't there.
You were totally
I was in
there
here.
No, you
why would out I go outside?
I think you were out
it was
there
literally like 5 steps from the door. You would do it.
I don't yes think so. That doesn't sound like something I would do, Howdy. There's no way that's true, right? Please.
You enjoy the misery of others. You would have definitely been
we
there
will watch the video during break.
That's true. Well, if you enjoy the misery of others, you're probably enjoying the misery of the other teams in the American League West. So here's where we're at. Astros still lead the division 55-31. Mariners just a half game back, 54-31, which means, as you can hear, they are tied in the loss column, which means they have the game in hand, which is a good place to be. Oakland is 8.5 back, 8 behind the Mariners at 46-39. But again, 7 games over .500, that's a good team that has won, what, 7 of their last 10. And if they hadn't lost their last game, they were on fire.
They would be a
that.
Couple games out of any team in the National
that's
League.
That's right. I mean,
there's not a National League team that's got 50 wins.
And we've seen them, by the way. I mean, Chris Davis, we saw them without Chris Davis. You know how much better they are when he's in the lineup.
Jed Lowry.
Yeah, yep. That bullpen that they bring out in the last few innings with Trevino and then Trinan, that's pretty legit. I mean, I don't know whether their ninth inning is as locked down as the Mariners, but if I had to take their eighth and ninth versus the Mariners' eighth and ninth, what do you take?
It's a debate.
Do you want Trinan and Trevino, or do you want Diaz and Colome / Nicasio?
It's a debate. I'll take Diaz, been the American League reliever of the month, 2 out of 3, so I would still take that to close the whole thing.
I think I will too, but it's not by a lot. I mean, that's a really good combination. The Angels are a few games behind them, 43-42, so they're 11.5 back, and then the Rangers, 38-47. I was mentioning this yesterday, that this is the best division in baseball. As weird as that sounds, this is the best division in baseball. The American League East will probably challenge it because they've got two really good teams also. Red Sox and Yankees are 1-2 in baseball in terms of record. And then the Rays have turned themselves into a pretty legitimate team in their rebuilding process. They've gotten rid of people, Brad Miller, Colome, Span, and managed to get better along the way and using their opener pitcher, et cetera. The Rays are now dead even at 42-42, but they're a pretty good team. Baltimore and Toronto are so bad, though,
yep,
that it kind of ruins the whole thing. The Rangers are the best last place team in baseball. The Angels and are above .500, which means 4 of the 5 teams in the AL West are all above .500, which means anybody who starts kind of trying to, I don't know, rain on the Mariner parade, oh, whatever, they're beating Baltimore, they're beating Kansas City, they're beating bad teams. At the end of this year, if the Mariners make the playoffs, it will be legit. And you can argue that a lot of the American League has given up, and they have. But not the American League West.
Yeah.
The AL West, where they're going to play a lion's share of their games in the unbalanced schedule, is by far the best division
and
in baseball.
And the Mariners are frauds and pretenders.
All right, that's enough out of you.
So
Astros
do you
rant.
Have a chance? Unlike in June, where Jeff Passan said to you, don't be that guy, Mike. Even a 7-game lead in June, don't be that guy and say you're going to bury the Angels in June. Now as we push to July in the All-Star break, if you win this series and you're 13 up on them, do you bury them?
You'd be 12 up on them. But yes.
You bury them?
I don't know how they come back from 12. I mean, like, quite frankly, even if you lose the series 2-1 and they're 10 games back, what are you in on January on July 5th at that point?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't see how the Angels get back into this. And getting Shohei Ohtani back will be a little shot in the arm, at least to their lineup, not to their pitching staff.
You know what I would like to see?
But I don't know if that's enough.
You know what I'd like to see as much as anything else? Obviously, win this series. Just win this series. Sweet, be greedy, that's fine. But just win this series and do so by going out and hopefully getting it done tonight in a pitchy matchup that we saw the last time here. And, you know, we're going to see a lot of familiarity in the second half of the season, especially in September when it's basically all the American League West. I'd like to see them find a way to get Mike Trout out. I think he's hitting .800 against them this year. So if they can just find a way to get him out 3 out of 4 times.
I don't
times,
care whether they get him out.
Yeah, I like to see
just
get
make
him
sure
out.
He comes up with nobody on base so you don't have to worry what he does when he comes out.
Just try
and
to
you should
get
be
him
totally
out.
Fine. Yeah, Astros rant guy not buying the Mariners. This may surprise you. If you haven't seen or heard Astros rant guy on Twitter, he's very angry. He loves the Astros. He hates bat flips, and he's a big Houston Titletown fan. But he's not a big fan or a big believer in what the Mariners have been doing so far. He thinks they are, I would say, more lucky than good.
Do you know how hard that is? Do you know how hard, not hard, that word. We're throwing hard out the window. It's not hard. You know how lucky you have to be to win 26 one-run baseball games? It's just pure luck. The Mariners are just a lucky team. They're pure luck. They're pure luck. They're not that good. The Mariners are not that good. They're just a lucky baseball team. And it pains me that they're a half game out of the Astros.
Can you imagine whining about the Mariners? Who whines about the Mariners? Mariners fans have ever whined about the Mariners, not other teams.
Can you imagine a podcast with Lydia and Astros Rants
guy? Can you imagine that? Let's make it a vlogcast, like a video podcast.
I would love to hear that.
Totally.
It would just be me talking about how awesome Mike Zunino is, and then him just like being like, oh, no, I'm crying.
I think I might agree with him on that one. All right, Coors Light's Blue 42 is coming up next. More Cam talk and the reasons to sign J.R. Sweezy all next here on Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U-corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42!
All right, time for a little Coors Light's Blue 42. This is where we answer three football questions, and we do it every day here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Brock, let's start here. Question number one. We're going to see a Seahawk team now once again without Cam Chancellor and his physical intimidation that he brings. When you look at this defensive roster, who is the most likely person or the best candidate to step in and fill some of that role?
Man, I have pointed to this name an awful lot in a lot of these Blue 42 questions throughout the offseason. It's Frank Clark. Frank Clark has got to be the guy from a physical intimidation standpoint that whenever and wherever he lines up on the field, both Michael Bennett with some of his disruption and then Cam Chancellor with his straight punishment, it's got to be Frank Clark that assumes some of that role. And frankly, he can. I mean, he has shown you in spurts over the last few years, Mike, that he will absolutely flatback offensive linemen. He will destroy tight ends. He'll run through running backs, and then he will knock the oxygen out of a quarterback's lungs. He is capable of doing all of those things. Bobby's established. I think people know how physical and gifted he is. That speaks for itself. But if there's one guy that can take his game to the next level, as far as that physical intimidation standpoint, series in and series out, is Frank Clark.
Question number two. Yesterday, it was just sort of a possibility. Today, it's gaining some momentum as J.R. Sweezy was in for a visit with the Seahawks. What would be the up and downside to signing J.R. Sweezy?
The downside is that your boy Fluker is just unreliable. That's a downside. And we saw a little bit of that, frankly, in this, because you want any free agent signing that you bring in to be a guy that you can count on, to be a run blocking difference maker.
But that wouldn't be a downside to signing Sweezy.
Yeah, I would say, we had a good look at him for the last 3 months in our program, and we need to sign Sweezy because he's just going to be, with that knee, a problem, somebody we're going to have to monitor and manage over the course of a season. That he's just not a guy that, you know what, took this job in the spring and in the summer and in the mini camp, said, no, this is my job. I'm your right guard, period, end of story. He didn't. He wasn't out there a bunch. He had a knee that was problematic. You saw a lot of Jordan Roos, and if you're going to see a lot of Jordan Roos, then you better sign J.R. Sweezy, because J.R. Sweezy is a better player than Jordan Roos. He has more game, even if he is undersized in this program. So the upside, as we hit on a need to know, you know J.R. Sweezy inside and out. You know what he is and what he isn't. And if J.R. Sweezy wants to come back here, he also knows what the rest of this league is and isn't, and he wants to be a Seahawk. I put all those in the positive column. If he's assigned, to me, it is a bit of a negative that, unfortunately, some of the moves this offseason, some of the draft that didn't materialize, a Fluker and a problematic knee, made you have to make this move and continue to add to that offensive line.
All right, question number three. Who's most likely to be this year's free agent signing bust?
Like Luke Jokel?
Like Luke Jokel.
Like Michael Wilhoit?
Like Eddie Lacy?
Like the $15 million you dropped on all three of those guys last year who remain unsigned right now, not even on a team? Jerron Brown. Jerron Brown was the wide receiver out of Arizona that I looked at and thought, okay, when that contract came up, I thought, man, it's actually a little bit of loot. There's some millions guaranteed in there for Jerron Brown, like 4 years, kind of up and down, never really, even in a pass-first system in Arizona with every opportunity to flourish, never really took that next step. And the body of work over this offseason, he's going to fight to make this team. And if he does not make this team, there was some significant dollars and some guarantees that are going to go out the window that you can kind of put in some of that list of some guys in those free agent acquisitions that have not been terribly positive.
All right, that is today's Coors Light's Blue 42. I still don't think I agree with the way you handled the J.R. Sweezy thing.
Okay.
I don't think that's I think maybe I'm just wordsmithing here, but I wouldn't say that's a downside. It just shows that maybe you have a weakness, but that would be an upside. If you really believe that Fluker isn't the guy you want him to be, and along comes somebody that you think can be better, that's more upside. And in Pete's world, wouldn't that just be competition?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Push comes to shove. If this is a minimum deal with a few incentives, you do the deal. You absolutely do the deal. 31 other teams in this league need more competition and depth on the O-line. So, yes, you ask me positive or negative, where does it land? Yeah. It lands on the positive side to add Sweezy to it. That said, there's also been this string of the Jamarcus Webbs and these moves that you've made on that O-line with some veteran guys that just aren't good.
Yeah, they're not
good. They're on that kind of scrub. No doubt. It just did not materialize, and it just shows you how hard that position is to fill with just kind of league average veteran offensive linemen. Very difficult.
Good stuff. That's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. Mariners back at it tonight against the Angels. 7 o'clock start, 6 o'clock pregame show here on 710 ESPN Seattle. I'll be there for fireworks night. Can't wait. We are more than halfway through the Robinson Cano suspension. He'll be back in I think it's 35 games left to go. Do you miss him? You miss Robinson Cano? Saw a lot of emotion sort of appeared accidentally yesterday when we got near this topic, and I think it is something people feel an emotional response to on one side or the other. Either, yeah, of course I miss him, he's a really good player and I'm excited to see him back, or no, I want him out of here, he hurt the team.
You know what'll be beautiful about opening up these phone lines is it's going to bring out, I think, all fans.
I would agree with
that. There's going to be the baseball fan that's going to be disgusted by some of what he hears, mm-hmm. or she hears. With, oh my gosh, you're trying to put baseball in that football locker room, and it just doesn't work that way. And talent is talent in baseball. And it's going to really bother some of the baseball people out there. Some of the other fans, and just pure kind of competition and watching this team and how differently they've been. What were they, 31-14? 31-14 without him? That are going to say, I'm sorry, that's enough proof over 45 games of what the rest of them can do, the sum of all of these parts together without them. I think this is going to be a fascinating, emotional discussion.
Well, let's hear it from you guys. 206-421-3776 is the phone number. Simple question. Do you miss Robinson Cano? He's been gone for 45 games. You've got 35 to go. 206-421-3776, Brock and Salk.